It's a great joy to be with you here this morning and for the service this evening too. I was reminded on my arrival that I should have come among you some considerable time ago, but COVID and lockdown intervened, but it's a real joy and privilege to be among you this morning. Let's turn in the Word of God together to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13 and to verse 44. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, one of the very brief parables of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Well, a very simple story, as so many of our Saviour's stories were, the parables, and yet how profound, how deep, and how wide affecting is the message that it contains for us this morning. And I want to look at this parable together with you by asking three very simple questions. One of them actually has a second part to it, but just three simple questions about this parable. Well, the story, so simple, but the Saviour tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure hidden in a field. And so we are given here the clue that what is being spoken of is how the gospel comes to men and women and young people, how we might be saved. And there is teaching and instruction here to help anyone who is a searcher after the truth. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, buried under the surface. And there's this man. And as he comes along, he discovers this treasure. And rather interestingly, he then quickly buries it and rushes off and liquidates all his assets so that he has sufficient funds to go and purchase that field so that the treasure can be his. A very simple story, and yet very, very profound, as I hope you'll acknowledge as we look at it this morning together. So here is my first question. What is the treasure? And it has this second element to it. And why is it, or was it hidden? What is this treasure? And why is it hidden? Well, the treasure, we're told the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure hidden in the field. The treasure represents all of the blessings of the Christian message, the Christian gospel, everything that is contained in the Word of God, and particularly everything that centers upon the life and work and ministry, the sufferings and death, and the justifying power of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. That's the treasure. All the blessings of the gospel. We think of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and its infinite value. And so the word treasure comes to have a real meaning, because all that he went through was of infinite value in the saving of souls, men and women, boys and girls. This treasure represents also eternal life. What a treasure it would be to discover the route, the means to gain eternal, everlasting life. What value is in everlasting life compared to our very transitory existence here in this world? This treasure also represents the change that takes place in a human life when they come to Jesus Christ. There's no other mechanism on this earth that can change and transform a life permanently. Not only to make superficial changes just merely to outward behavior, but radically reshape and remake a person's character, so that those who were once following one particular direction alter entirely. And I'm talking here not only of a change in direction in the sense of a career change, but a change in outlook entirely, so that a person who was at first a liar becomes that person that is known for truth and for integrity. A change so great upon that kind of scale, described here as a treasure. The new birth described to us in the scriptures. This treasure also represents a relationship with our God. We're away from God by sin, by the way we've lived our lives. We're alienated from him. We're his enemies. He stands against us. But this treasure, the blessings of the gospel, bring us into a new, a living relationship with the one who was against us, because what Christ has done in paying the debt that we owe to our God. So what is this treasure? It's all those blessings and countless others besides that come under the description of the blessings of the Christian gospel. But why was it hidden? And there's no doubt that in the earliest ages, before the Saviour came, the treasure was hidden. It was hidden and it was only partially revealed in the pictures and in the types of the Old Testament order, the sacrificial system, which pointed to the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ would make, but it was veiled. The truly believing among the Israelites, they could see by faith. They could have that spiritual insight to see that it pointed forward to the one that was promised who would come, but to the vast majority, these things were so veiled that they could scarcely see below the surface all that was intended in them. And then there were the prophecies, some of them very specific about the place of his birth. Some of the actual words that the Saviour would use when he hung and suffered upon the cross. But no matter how specific those prophecies were, yet to the vast majority, these things were veiled. They were indistinct. They were hard to see the specifics. But now with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he enters into the world. The second person of the Godhead takes upon him human flesh and personality. He lives among us. His perfections are evident for all to see. The kindness of his words and actions towards all those with whom he interacted, those amazing miracles that he performed, all showed the wonder of who he was. And then he went and died on the cross. He willingly gave himself to be an offering in the place of those whom he came to save. And there, as he was impaled upon that cruel tree, God the Father poured out his wrath upon him in the place of each and every one who would be the recipient of his grace and of his mercy. He rose again. Oh, the glory of it. Though he was laid in the grave, he yielded to death, the consequence of human sin, and was placed in the tomb. He rose again, and he has established the great victory over sin, over death, and over the enemy of our souls. And he has ascended into the heavenly realm, there upon the right hand of the Father in heaven itself. All the glory of the work of the Saviour on behalf of his people. And it's now so clear. It's now been manifested. It's now been openly declared. This thing that in time past was hidden, just like the treasure hidden in the field, it's now openly declared. And yet at the same time, even though it has been so openly declared, it remains hidden to the vast majority of people before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does it remain hidden? It's not anything about the gospel or the message of grace, the appeal, the invitation to come to Jesus Christ. It's hidden now because of the blindness in our own hearts and in our own lives. That's why I read to you from 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, where we read, but even if our gospel is veiled, yes, it does remain hidden. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Yes, the gospel remains hidden to us. If we're outside of the kingdom of grace, we've never begun to consider these things because our enemy, the devil, seeks to blind our minds. Our own sinful traits and tendencies, we don't want a message that humbles us and calls us to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Yes, it remains hidden. Well, a few things about things that are hidden. You may have heard the saying, hidden in plain sight. Something can be hidden when it is among the crowd. It's there. And if you only had eyes to see it, it would be evident. Someone can be at large, can be on the loose, as it were. And while they're among the crowd, it's very hard for them to be seen, but they're hidden in plain sight. So it is with the gospel. These things are plain. The terms of the gospel, the invitations of the gospel, everything has been accomplished. Everything has been manifested and openly declared. But it seems that it's hidden in plain sight because of our lack of care to consider these things. You may also have heard the expression that you can't see the wood for the trees. And that's something that is occasionally spoken about. And that's true also. There are so many voices and noises around us that the gentle voice of the gospel, the appeal of the Savior to consider your sin and your need of pardon and forgiveness is drowned out by so many other things. We can't see the wood for the trees. Now, in a week or so, I'm taking away a group of teenagers on a camp. And one of the things that we do on our camp is to organize a treasure hunt. And of course, there are clues that we give. And the purpose of the treasure hunt is, yes, there is a treasure that has been hidden. But if you're carefully following the clues, you will be led to that treasure. Are we carefully observing the hints and the clues that the Lord has left for us to find this hidden treasure, the treasure of the blessings of the gospel? Or it's not a treasure that has been hidden so as never to be found, but like my treasure hunt, our great desire is that it is found. And the clues and the hints are so apparent. The disappointments that we have in this world, they are to lead us to consider spiritual things. The approaching end of life, that sense of accountability, those quiet moments perhaps when we're all on our own and we have this sense that we are accountable to our God. All of these things are to drive us to take seriously the claims of the Word of God and to seek this treasure that has been hidden for us to find. So what is this treasure and why is it hidden? But that leads us to a second question about this parable. And it's this: what on earth was that man doing there in that field? Why was he there? How did he come to be there in the first place? So that he came up against and found this treasure. And I can only think of two explanations as to why he was there. But you know, each one of those explanations is very helpful to us, because it could be that we fall into one of these two categories, spiritually speaking. Here's the first. I think this is the least likely of them. And this is certainly the least likely in terms of our own search for spiritual things. It may be that this man had heard on the grapevine through the local gossip. There was some kind of buzz about the place that people were aware that there was somewhere in the vicinity this treasure. And having heard that there was this treasure, he set off on a search for it. And he went to various places, and he was very diligent in his search. Well, that's a possibility. You know, there's a parallel for us. It may be that someone here or who's following this message is aware or has heard that there must be some truth in the message of the Bible. And for you, it's prompted a desire to investigate the facts of the faith. What is it that the Bible teaches? What is it that's so amazing about the Bible that I've heard just a little of? And you've begun to investigate, you've begun to search, and you're coming along to a service of worship. You're searching out for a message where you can have the Word of God explained, is part of your search for the reality of these things. Well, the implication of this parable is that if we are diligently searching, that treasure will be found. Oh, do continue to search. Do continue to ask questions. Principally, of course, go directly to the Lord God himself. Seek him. Speak to him. Ask him to reveal himself to you, because all who have ever done so, the Lord has made himself known, and the treasures of the gospel have been revealed. That treasure has been discovered. Oh, come to Jesus if that is you. But secondly, and I think this is more likely, there's another possibility for why this man was in this field. I think it's more likely that actually he was very poor, because he didn't own this field. This field wasn't his. When he found the treasure, he had to go and raise the capital so that he could purchase the field. Most likely, therefore, he was so poor that he was having to work for somebody else. He was in the field of his employer. And the likelihood is that he had been in that field many days, perhaps many years, toiling and working. Just think for a moment how close oftentimes he had been to that treasure, maybe even standing right next to it, but blissfully unaware of what was so close at hand to him. You know, that's a picture of the vast majority of us before we come to know and to find the treasure that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're poor. Spiritually speaking, we're impoverished. We have no spiritual life. Our soul is dead. And all we're doing as we go through life is grubbing out a meager existence on the things that this world has to offer us. Nothing greater, nothing higher, nothing deep, nothing lasting. Or we desire a promotion at work, and we labor for it. Perhaps we even have to sacrifice something of our character to achieve it by doing down a fellow colleague who is competing with us for that position. And at length, we achieve the objective, we get that promotion, only to find that it wasn't what it seemed to be. It didn't give us the power, the authority that we thought. Oh yes, there was an increase in salary, but the burden of additional responsibilities weighs heavy upon us. And we're ultimately disappointed. And the same could be said of possessions, wealth, the pleasures of this world, everything that we seek to fill that empty void that is within us in this world ultimately results in dissatisfaction. And the cravings are only made all the more great. But as we go through life, very often those who come to faith make a discovery. We might say almost by chance. This treasure is discovered. For many, as we hear their testimonies, it begins with one of those crushing disappointments in life. We've given our all to something in this world, it's let us down. And for a moment, we begin to think about more deep, more meaningful things. Perhaps at that time, at our lowest point, a Christian work colleague, a member of our family, someone that we know who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks to us and shares their testimony, gives us a tract, invites us along to church. And for us, it's that moment that begins the search until we find the treasure that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some, it's actually seeing someone that we knew. We knew what they were like before they were converted, and something's happened to them. We can't quite put our finger on it, but that individual, that person has changed. I knew the sort of person that they were before taking shortcuts at work, but now they're much more principled. Now they're much more careful to do that which is right. Their language has changed. Their sense of humour. They still have a wonderful sense of humour, but it's not now focused on the smutty things, the dirty things, the cheap laughs that so many indulge in. But now there's a refinement. There's something elevating, even in their small talk. And I can't put my finger on it, but something about that person has changed. And I begin to search. Well, I wonder about this man when he discovered this treasure hidden in the field. As he unearthed it, what did he find? Was it immediately apparent that it was a treasure? Probably not. His spade or his plough struck something and he dug it out. Perhaps as he looked at it, it didn't look very attractive or appealing at all. One of the programs that I watch on television is about the hunt for gold in Australia. And there are these people that go out into the outbacks with their metal detectors, and they're sweeping over the ground trying to find gold nuggets. And of course they go to the places where historically there have been great finds of gold in the past. And they go there, and the old timers, when they were there, of course, they left a whole load of junk. And so as they sweep their metal detectors across the ground, the detector gives a signal. They dig up, it's just another can. It's a tin, just a bit of refuse, a bit of rubbish that the old timers left. And then they continue, and then another sound, and they dig it up, and it's just another can. But then they rattle it. Oh, on the outside, it doesn't look encouraging. But what they discover is that within this can that they found are some gold nuggets that one of the old timers had discovered, put into the tin and buried, hoping to come back and to pick it up later. And there it is. They found that treasure. Superficially, to outward appearance, It didn't look much at all. But when they looked within, there was the treasure, the evident value of what it is that they had found. Do you know, it may be like that for us. We begin to take seriously matters of the soul, and that begins for us a search for reality, for things that are deep. We come along and we hear the Christian message. And when we first begin to hear it, it doesn't seem very attractive at all. Do you mean to tell me that something that took place 2,000 years ago in a far off land can make a difference to me now eternally? Do you mean to say that this teacher, oh yes, his words were profound, but from that obscure region of Israel, his words can change my life, can change my eternal destiny? And superficially, it doesn't look much at all. But when we begin to uncover, we're to open up, and we see all the truth that comes with these things, we begin to see that it really is the treasure that has been hidden here. Oh, don't be disappointed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seek to understand it ever more deeply. Investigate these things. Ask God to reveal them to you until you see the treasure that they represent. But here's my third and final question. Isn't there something rather questionable going on here? This man, when he discovers the treasure, what does he do? He buries it. He hides it. And then he goes off and he appears to deceive the landowner. The landowner who possesses that field really owns that treasure. And by concealing it and going off and selling everything that he has and purchasing the field, doesn't he deceive the owner? And there's something that we can draw from this that may help one or two here even this morning. You know, when we hear the Christian message, and when we begin to understand that all of its blessings are ours, if we simply come and if we simply give our lives over to the Lord and we tell him the sort of people that we've been, oh yes, we've got to follow what this man did. We've got to sell all that we have. But you know, when we get to that point, we begin to realize that all I've got is a mountain of guilt, a record of sin. That's all I have. Everything else that I think I have or I think I've achieved is nothing. All I have is what I am as a person, a sinner, a rebel against my God. And all I have to do is come and give him my life, give him my sin, confess to him what I am and what I've done and what I've been. And these blessings then become mine. Yes, you know, it's true. This man, he couldn't just take this treasure, because if he'd suddenly appeared with it in public, however could he explain how he got it? He could only have it and enjoy it and benefit from it if he had due title to its blessings. Do you know, there are some who, having heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they stop there and they say, it's almost too good to be true, what you're telling me, that I can do nothing, that I can contribute nothing, that these blessings, great as you represent them to me, can be mine at no cost to me. And all I have to do is humble myself and confess my sins and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It's almost too good to be, it's too simple. There must be more to it than that. And they stop. And they won't take the blessing that is now so close to them that they could have for the asking. Oh, don't be so foolish. It's true. And the seeking sinner sometimes feels almost as though we're stealing from God. We're taking from God blessings and contributing nothing. Well, that is the reality, but we're not stealing. Or like the treasure in my treasure hunt. How pleased I am when they've gone along the course and they find the treasure. They've reached the goal. The Saviour and our God is so pleased to bless us with all the blessings of the gospel when we approach him and come to him. Now, I've had the privilege this morning of in some way conducting you around the field and trying to show you some aspects of this treasure. It's over here. It's to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've in some way been able to expose a little of it, all too feebly, I know. Oh, seek that treasure. Dig up that treasure for yourself. No one else can do it for you. But the promise of the gospel is clear. If you bring everything and give up all to possess the blessings of the gospel, they will be yours. Jesus Christ, his forgiveness, eternal life, meaning and purpose, your life will be changed by this treasure that you've discovered, the treasure hid in the field. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, help us each one to desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see in him the only hope for our souls. Bless with salvation each and every one. We pray that we may be those who sell all our sin, our foolish lives in this world, so that we may possess eternal and lasting blessings in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things for his sake. Amen.